Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Left. Wendy Snyder is off for the day. She'll be back, we believe, tomorrow. And I'm now going to attempt what I consider to be the greatest segue in radio history as I talk about the last segment and then introduce noted pet expert Steve Dale. We were just talking about lies that parents have told their kids, I'm sure for their children's own good, but sometimes parents need to lie to their kids. And we told the story just a few moments ago about so many people, including our own Kevin's parents, who explain, you know, as a pet is getting older, that instead of the pet dying, they tell the kids that they have taken the dog or the cat to a farm, a special dog farm or a cat farm, so that the dog can live forever there at this this farm. And many, many people believe this. Steve, I hope you've heard this story before. Many people, they don't want to explain to their kids that the dog has died or is about to die. We just say, oh, they're at a farm now. They're picking apples on a farm. Well, then this text comes in. Bill, I just realized at 77 years of age that my parents lied to me about my dog going to a farm when I was 7 years old. I never questioned it until you just brought up the subject. So for 70 years, Steve, this person has believed wholeheartedly that mom and dad were telling them the truth, only to discover that they're dirty, filthy liars. It's awful.
I hear that all the time.
Do you? I bet you do.
I do. And I talked to more than one psychologist about this because I know about pets, don't know about people.
Yeah.
And the psychologists say it's a really bad thing to do.
To lie to your kids and tell them that the dog is at a dog farm.
Because years later, as illustrated by the texter, it comes back to haunt people and you kind of never forgive your parents for doing that.
Yep.
I mean, here's someone you love, and kids do love, that's not too strong a word,
right?
Their dog, cat, or rabbit. And then you find out that, oh my gosh, this is not really what happened.
But, you know, and again, I'm mixing something that I'm not familiar with, but I imagine for a lot of kids, that may be their first taste of the fact that that death does happen at some point is when a dog or a cat dies. And a lot of parents feel, oh, maybe my 3-year-old or 4-year-old isn't quite ready to know the truth yet.
Well, I think there are other ways to say what happened.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's the same.
What would you recommend? What would you say?
Well, first of all, I would say get a goldfish in the first place because it's more likely to happen. It's easier to practice on something that isn't quite as important in your life as a dog or a cat. And even kids don't have quite the same bond with a goldfish.
Right.
And the goldfish is, sadly, likely to succumb. There are exceptional goldfish out there that I know that
live
are like
a long life.
Oh, they're like George Burns. They go on forever. They smoke cigars. It's amazing.
They do movies with John Denver. It's the weirdest thing.
These goldfish are incredible. But by and large, goldfish aren't going to make it. So it's a good idea to have a starter pet, I think.
Right.
A pet rat, which people say.
A pet rat.
They're great first pets, actually.
Really, why would you recommend
but
a pet rat?
But the sad part is they only last a couple of years at best.
No, what is it about a rat that would make for a good pet?
They're brilliant. They're interactive.
Yeah.
More so than you would think. And I said brilliant. They're really smart.
Are they? Yeah.
I mean, they're like Cocker Spaniels with a different kind of tail. I mean, they're really...
That should be their ad campaign. I think you just found an ad campaign for the rat.
It's not a...
Did you have a pet rat at some point?
No.
You did not.
My friend did, and they were awesome.
Really?
They would come, like, run up your arm while you're, like, playing cards, and they'd sit on our shoulders. It was so cool.
Oh.
Very, very fun.
If a rat ran up my arm, I don't care who's listening and what town you live in, you would hear me scream wherever you're listening.
I'm sure...
I would scream so loud.
Even in Costa Rica, they'd hear you.
Oh, it's so funny you bring up Costa Rica.
Yes.
I know you knew we were going. I told you before the trip.
I think your daughter's amazing.
Terry and I, Kylie is.
Explain what she does.
She's taking a gap year between high school and college, and she's doing various good deeds. And part of this gap year was she spent 5 weeks in Costa Rica helping the leatherhead turtle. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The leatherhead turtle. A very, very rare endangered turtle.
They're a sea turtle.
They're a sea turtle. Yeah. So she was helping them
on
the beaches of Costa Rica for 5 weeks.
It's
She's
wonderful.
Back now. But what I wanted to tell you about Costa Rica is I took a picture because when I came back, I won't go into great detail on the story, we were there by a tropical rainforest in Costa Rica, and things come out of the jungle that I've never seen before, I've never heard of before. There's all these animals and insects because you're right there in the forest.
Yeah.
And stuff comes out, and I never knew. I didn't know how to react. I didn't know if I should be afraid of it, if it would attack me, whatever. So I'm going to show you
and
a picture.
You were seriously worried about being afraid of animals before you left. Did it work out?
I was fine.
By any wild monkeys?
Well, the only thing I'm going to tell you, and it has to do with this animal, I'm going to show you, and I'll let you describe what we're looking at. You may even know what these are. I'd never seen them before. The animal I showed you traveled in packs of about...
These are coati.
Are they coati? Now explain what that is. What is a coati?
They're relatives of the raccoon, and depending on which book you read, they're either very close relatives or somewhat distant relatives. They're very raccoon-like. They live in what are called bands or small groups, which
about
you describe.
About 10 to 14. Yeah.
That's actually about right. And they make these little chattering sounds. They look kind of like raccoons with little rings around their tails.
Yeah.
And they come in different color combinations depending on the region of the world in which you're in. They're even in America, by the way.
They have them here?
Yeah, in the South. You know, so in Texas, in New Mexico, Arizona, there are some coati. Certainly in Mexico and all the way down through Central America. They live with raccoons in the same sort of environment. They compete for the same sort of foods.
Yeah.
So sometimes if you have both of them in the same environment, they don't like each other very much.
Oh.
And they're very dexterous. They use their paws or their hands in ways that we do. And they learn, they're smart, and they learn to beg for food from people who feed them.
And that's exactly what we were experiencing where we were staying, because they explained at the hotel, we prefer that you not feed them, because once you do feed them, they stick around for a good long time. They want more food. And they would do this thing, like I said, there were 10 or 14 of them at a time, where they'd all be kind of searching the same kind of square yardage for food, and then they would start fighting, and they'd get pretty vicious with each other. So you'd look and you'd go, boy, I'd hate to tangle with one of these, because they do get pretty vicious with each other.
They're not small. They're shaped a bit differently than raccoon, but they're about the same size.
I'm inaccurate, but I was calling them monkey raccoons, because they were part...
It's kind of a good
description. They're somewhere in the middle of a monkey and a raccoon.
Yeah.
All right, so one of the days, Steve, I'm walking on a path near our hotel, because the hotel was kind of far off from where our room was, and I'm walking down this path, and every time I had ever seen these, tell me the name again? What are they
called?
Coati. Every time I had ever seen them, there were a bunch of them at one time, but this time, as I'm walking down a path, another one comes up coming the opposite way, so it's me walking one way, the coati walking the other, and I go, well, this shouldn't be much of an issue, because I'm 5'11", and it's... Six inches, two and a half feet
or something.
I should get the better of this, but it just starts looking at me and looking at me like, if you want to start something, I'm here and you're here. It's just me and you.
Just wants food, I'm sure.
I keep walking towards it and thinking nothing of it, and then all of a sudden, in all the trees surrounding me, I hear. They were all lined up in the trees as if to say, if you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. And I walked completely around the hotel to get to my room.
You walked all the way back to the United States to avoid.
Came home that day. My family stayed and I came home. But they wouldn't have hurt me, would they? They're not meat eaters, are they?
No. Well, yeah, they'll eat fish, they'll eat insects.
Yeah.
Anything they can catch that's very, very small. So perhaps a mouse, if they can catch it. But other than that, no, they're certainly not going to go after a person. However, here's what happens is they're so accustomed to being fed, they become bold.
Yeah.
Individuals become bold, like this guy.
Yeah.
And they will walk right up to you. And if that happens, and then they feel they're wild animals. So for some reason, they feel threatened. And what threatens a coati and what threatens us? Two different things.
I would imagine.
So, So if they feel cornered or threatened, they can bite, you know?
Well, there were so many animals there in the region that we saw like... Oh, boy. What they call the Jesus lizard. You know what this is? These are these lizards that can run across the water.
Oh, the ballast lizard.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So they can run across the water. And then we saw something that looked like either Pumbaa or Timon. I don't know who's
a
who.
What?
In Lion King, they've got those two singing and dancing animals. And although the ones we saw didn't sing or dance.
Oh.
We stayed for a while. And we're like, this doesn't sing or dance.
Wasn't worth the cover charge.
This is stupid. Yeah. Why do we pay $8.50? So... There were all these animals, and I don't know.
What kind of cat did you see, though? An ocelot?
Maybe. I don't.
If you saw a jaguar, consider yourself very lucky.
Well, they do have them there.
Yeah,
they're
nocturnal, for one thing, and there aren't many around, because they're disappearing.
But I never know when I encounter an animal like that in its home field. I don't know which ones will just look at me and go, no, it's not even worth the effort. I needed somebody next to me at all time to go, that one would kill you if you looked at it the wrong way.
Well, I should have come with you.
You should have come with next time to come with.
I would have loved to have gone with.
All right,
I've never
time.
Been to Costa Rica.
Next time. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's really beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Oh. Everyone says that. People are great.
Yeah.
Everyone says that.
Yep.
Is that true?
Yep. Everybody was friendly.
We just came back from Mexico. I was in Puerto Vallarta at an animal shelter, and that's wrong to say. It's not a shelter. It's a sanctuary for dogs and cats that are found in the street or in abused situations. That is amazing. What they do to rehab these animals in some ways, anyway, exceeds what we do in America. I mean,
really?
It's a great model, and it's incredible what they do there. It also provides a model for their local community of what can be done.
Yeah, yeah. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here, and I know a bunch of you have questions, so we'll get to those next. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call in or text in. It's Bill Leff. Wendy Snyder's got the day off on WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff, along with noted pet expert Steve Dale. Noted pet expert Steve Dale, there are many, many calls for you. Shall we take them?
I'm itching to take some.
Let's do just that.
You know why I said that?
Because
we just heard Cat Scratch Fever.
From Ted Nugent, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not as quick as you are. But
no, you're very quick.
No,
you're very quick.
No.
Don, noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. Did you have a question or comment for him?
I do. Hi.
Hi.
What is your recommendation for getting rid of and preventing fleas? I've heard terrible things about Frontline and Advantage, you know, causing seizures and stuff like that.
No. But, you know, first of all, that's not true. Secondly, see your veterinarian, not me. And thirdly, ask your veterinarian about this. There's new technology out there that I love. So I don't say anything bad about those products because they mostly really do. I said mostly, right?
Yeah.
And in this area, that's not true. So if you're in the Chicago area, they work. You know, so that's not the issue. But I like new technology. Who doesn't? If it's new iPhone, get it. Well, new flea technology, get it. Same thing. And this is new technology. One product is called Bravecto. And the nice thing about that is you don't need to apply it as often. Actually, it's a chewable that your pet takes.
Okay.
Ask your veterinarian about that.
Or Bravecto.
Bravecto.
Which was also your magician name the first time I ever saw you perform.
The amazing Bravecto.
I remember that.
And also NexGard is another choice, NexGard. That's NexGard, also new technology.
Okay.
All right, Dawn, give it a shot. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Now, the good thing is she asked about fleas. It's important to beat the fleas, so that's appropriate.
Now, why did you say in Chicago these will be effective?
There's
what does
some
that mean?
Talk, and I, you know, that in certain places where fleas are more than a little abundant, like in Florida, and some other places in the South, that the fleas have actually built up some immunity to some of the older products.
Oh.
We don't know that that's the case or not, but it's not a worry in Chicago for sure. And secondly, even in those places, if you do it smart and do it right, I believe you're fine.
All right. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here to take your calls or questions. Greg is on the line. Hi, Greg. What have you got for us?
Hi there. How you guys doing?
Couldn't be better.
Good. Steve, I have a question for you. I have a 10-year-old Maltese, me, and she's formed cataracts in both of her eyes, and you know, her vision is very not so good as of now. I understand it's a little pricey to, you know, to help her. Is there any options that I have, other options available?
Well, again, for that one, not really the one to ask, a veterinary ophthalmologist. And there is such a thing, by the way. Veterinarians are specialized in eye care for animals. And there are some available. Chicago Veterinary Emergency Specialty Center has two or three of them that are right there. And they can tell you what the options are. I don't believe reading glasses will work. And for some dogs, it's just kind of the way it is, you know. Dogs, though, do adjust really, really well. You know, no one's told them, and this has happened over a course of time.
Yeah.
So as long as there's no pain involved, and generally there is not, you know, you could see with these older animals, their eyes are cloudy. And,
right.
And at night, you could especially see the difference.
Yeah.
Their night vision isn't as good, but they don't need to drive, you know. So depending on how bad it is, I don't know that your dog is as concerned as you are, but definitely seeing your veterinarian first and then asking about a referral to a veterinary ophthalmologist would be able to tell you far more than I can.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Happy holidays.
You too.
No, he said that wrong. It should be happy holidays.
Happy, how does that go again?
Holidays.
Happy holidays,
yes.
Says noted pet expert Steve Dale. Pat, go ahead. Do you have a question for Steve Dale?
Hey, Pat.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Steve and Bill.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a rescue cat who I inherited from my daughter. Now, we were gone for 2 weeks, and I had to have her boarded. When I came back, she would no longer use her litter box. I am beside myself. My husband is not a happy camper, and he said if I can't get her to use her litter box, she's got to go.
Is this the only cat? Is this the only cat you have at home?
Yes.
Where's the litter box?
Downstairs in the movie room.
Okay, so how old's the cat?
You know, I'm not sure.
About?
Approximately 2 years,
Oh,
maybe?
Young cat. Okay. So still, having the litter box downstairs is not a good idea anyway, long term, because when cats get older, I mean, if grandma had to go downstairs to use her litter box, she may say, the heck with it. And sometimes
that's
with older...
That's a beautiful image you just put in our heads, by the way, Steve.
Much.
Thank you for that.
No
that
problem.
Beautiful.
But there's other scary stuff happening in the basement, like the laundry
of
is
course.
Going on, you know, and it's away well, from you. So cats do like litter boxes. Here's the catch 22. They like their privacy, just like we do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't want to be like miles away, and for a cat being down in the basement is kind of miles away, especially
right.
for a cat who, well, you've been without for a while, and for cats, change is something they don't like. So here the cat was, oh, here I'm there at this place, now I'm there at this place. So I want you to add a couple of litter boxes on the main floor. Long term, you probably don't have to keep them both, but that's and scooping every day, being very meticulous as cats are. And also check out this product. It's called Feel Away. It can lower the stress in cats. It's a knockoff of a pheromone, a naturally occurring pheromone. There's no side effect or anything. And you could put a collar around the cat, or it can come in a diffuser, you know, that you plug into the wall. That is what I'd recommend, and you can get that anywhere pet products are sold.
Oh,
good luck, Pat.
Thank you so much.
Have a nice holiday. Take care.
Happy holiday.
Oh, you
She's
got Pat
good.
Doing it now, Steve. You got Pat doing it.
The world should.
Thanks, Pat. We only have a minute here, Steve,
yeah.
but I know that there's a very important event coming up that you wanted to talk about. Have at it.
It's one of my favorite events of the year, and I have at so many of these. It's called Lights of Love. It's a Treehouse Humane Society, and it's this coming Saturday. And what we do is we honor those pets that have been lost over the course of this past year, dogs, cats, or frankly, people too. And it's really beautiful. So you have instantly thousands of Italian lights that are lit up, one representing every dog, cat, person,
yeah.
or pet turtle,
yeah.
or rabbit that has passed away, whatever it is. And
yeah.
I read something called The Rainbow Bridge. It's a poem about meeting our pets again on the other side. It's a sweet event, something I like. It's a free event, although making a donation to the nonprofit Treehouse Humane Society is a great idea. It's at 1212 West Carmen. I'll be doing my thing there at around 6 p.m., the open house itself starts at about 4 with, in fact, tours of the shelter and all that. You can check it all out on my blog, chicagonow.com/Steve Dale.
That's the best place to find you, and everything you're involved in is at
yeah.
that blog event, blog
yeah.
address. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Can you get me a deal on some Provecto? I need Provecto.
I'm scratching. I understand.
See what you can find.
Yes.
Steve, always good to see you. Thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
And, of course, to you.
Yes.
And all your loved ones
yes.
and your rabbit.
Thank you, Steve.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. You know, it's going to take me a month to shake that grandma going downstairs to use a litter box. I'm glad you brought that up.
You don't know. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Be careful.
A quick break. We've got news next. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder away for the day, and it's WGN.